Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining us today for this media briefing with Agriculture Undersecretary Dallas Tanziger. He'll be highlighting USDA's rural development accomplishments as well as job creation efforts. If you'd like to ask a question of the Undersecretary, let us know by pressing star 1. And now I turn it over to the Undersecretary, who will be discussing USDA Rural Development's Fiscal Year 2011 Annual Report.
Good morning, and thank you all for joining the call. Today, I'm proud to announce the release of our 2011 Rural Development Progress Report, which highlights the investments our agencies made in the past year to create jobs and improve rural communities across the country. I want to start out by thanking our network of committed rural development employees for their efforts. They truly are passionate about what the work they do and the communities they serve, which shows in our 2011 Progress Report. Last year, rural development investments totaled almost $29 billion and created or saved an estimated 440,000 jobs. In one way or another, USDA and rural development touched virtually every American in 2011. Our efforts align with the Obama administration's mission of putting people back to work and putting money back into the pockets of working Americans. At USDA, we're partnering with businesses, nonprofits, cooperatives, tribes, and local governments to do our part to stimulate economic activity and create opportunities for job growth in rural America. In the 2011 fiscal year, rural development through its rural business cooperative, utilities, and housing programs provided housing opportunities for over 143,000 families, upgraded community facilities across the country, supported improvements to the national electric grid, funded renewable energy projects, and expanded access to affordable, high-quality internet service for rural residents throughout the Community Connect and other broadband programs. Roughly 63% of our fiscal year 2011 investments served to increase access to capital for rural businesses, communities, and home buyers without a direct cost to the federal government. For example, in Indiana, Morris Manufacturing and Sales Corporation, a family-owned auto parts maker, used USDA business loan guarantees to restructure debt and expand their business. As a result, the firm rehired 100 laid-off workers and hired 44 additional workers. About 34% of rural development investments last year were made in the form of secure, affordable, direct loans that will be paid back to the government with interest. Through its rural utilities programs, rural development provided more than 800 direct loans to help small communities install or upgrade their water and wastewater systems and upgrade landfills to protect environmental quality. USDA also provided technical assistance to ensure that the newly installed systems are maintained. Rural development's electric programs funded nearly $300 million in renewable energy projects, including a wind project in the Dakotas that will provide 600 megawatts of power, and 49-megawatt facility in Halifax County, Virginia, that uses woody biomass to generate power. We continue to roll out broadband projects across the country. Communities around Fort Hays State University in Kansas, for example, can now use broadband technology to offer distance learning opportunities to students in surrounding areas. Rural Development's Community Facilities Program provided another 430 direct loans to upgrade rural school facilities, health care services, and emergency services across the nation. For instance, Rural Development provided a direct loan last year for the construction of a new dental center in Rhinelander, Wisconsin. In addition to creating construction jobs today, the facility will also employ 38 professional and support personnel when the clinic opens its door to deliver needed care in an underserved area. Rural Development also provided more than $63 million in direct loans to help local organizations capitalize self-renewing revolving loan funds that last year assisted more than 1,000 small rural businesses. In total, these relending programs are estimated to have helped local communities create or save nearly 20,000 jobs. This year marks the 150 years that USDA has been working to meet the needs of America's rural communities. Last week, the Secretary announced USDA's Blueprint for Service. It explains how we are going to continue to serve rural America with fewer resources. While we propose the closure of 43 area and sub-area offices in 17 states and U.S. territories, approximately 450 rural development offices remain throughout the United States. We at Rural Development will continue our important work to revitalize rural communities and help them thrive for years into the future. I'd be happy to take any questions that you have at this time.
Reporters, if you'd like to ask a question, please let us know by pressing star 1 on your touch-tone pad. As we await for callers to get on the line, $29 billion in investments, a lot of money. Being able to save 440,000 jobs is significant. But put it in terms of, I know you gave some examples, but be a little more specific on what this really means for a community to be able to save. Collectively, you've saved 440,000 jobs, but in one community it might have been maybe 20 jobs. And how significant is that to a community?
Well, having lived in a community of 250 most of my life, creating 5 jobs in a community like that is an enormous thing. So the gross amount is probably not so important as the net effect on individual communities and what it means for their long-term future. Quite often, these community leaders have worked with other community leaders in that community for years to come to a package, a proposal that is suited for their communities. In one place, it might be healthcare. In another, it might be simply hooking up the school to a broadband communication system. So it's incredibly eclectic what different communities need to meet their resources, and that's why it's important we have this broad set of tools that we can use and help individual communities meet their individual needs. So it's incredibly important, it's incredibly impactful, and the degree of impact varies from community to community because each one is unique.
We've got a caller on the line, Jerry Hagstrom with the Hagstrom Report. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Undersecretary. I noticed that you mentioned the broadband issue. Do you have any statistics on how many people are now able to get broadband that were not able to get it before you started the program, particularly with the money from the Recovery Act? Or how much of that effort is in progress in terms of how many people the system will be able to serve eventually?
The goal is to have availability for several million people nationwide, and I'm sorry I don't have that exact number at hand. But when the projects that we funded are built out, it's several million that it becomes available to. So it's available if they choose to purchase it from us. We have a few projects that are completed and operating. We have the great bulk of the projects that are in the construction phase. At some degree or another, they have some funds invested. We have a few projects that are still in the study phase. We're planning to talk about this a great deal more. We have a map that we're going to be showing folks that shows the different stages of where projects are. I don't have that quite available yet, but we'll have in the near future. So significant projects is being made. Many projects aren't at the point of having service available yet. So we're summarizing that and hope to be providing more meaningful information in the near future.
Okay, thank you.
Reporters, if you'd like to ask a question, please let us know by pressing star 1 on your touch-tone pad. Talk about the administration's 3-year record in the growth of the economy, in rural growth.
There's several factors that have impacted on the rural economy. Agricultural itself has done well, and so that's been a significant impact. Crop prices have been strong, production has been strong, and exports have been strong. So the agricultural side of the rural economy has been doing quite well. We see the demand for the resources we provide and the number of projects that have been funded is an indicator of the desire of rural communities to be successful and move forward. So we think that that is a good indicator. We do know that areas of high poverty or areas where there is economic challenges, there is significant weaknesses in some areas, and we're seeking to bring resources to bear on that in a meaningful way.
We've got another caller on the line, Bill Ray with AgriNet News. Bill.
Mr. Undersecretary, Bill Ray here at AgriNet News, and one of the things that we're interested in our immediate area is there's some problems with some of the, not necessarily the wideband, but the general outrun of the different things that are coming off the towers today, and it's becoming a burdensome situation in other places. It's actually a danger. Is the Agriculture Department involved to the point to where they can help where some of these problems are occurring?
I guess I don't quite understand which particular parts of the problems, but we certainly impact on the projects we're funding, and we do look for the qualitative aspects of the projects we're funding. Makes it a challenge because we're pressing people to do things well when they build the projects. If this is a project we're involved with, we certainly could be engaged in trying to address problems associated with the towers or the transmissions from towers.
Okay. Thank you.
We have another caller on the line from Cronkite News, Salvador Rodriguez. Hello? Salvador, are you there?
Hi. Yes. Sorry. Sorry, Mr. Undersecretary. But yeah, this is Salvador. I'm a reporter for Cronkite News. Like you guys said, I cover the state of Arizona. And I was wondering if you could talk to me a little bit about the kind of jobs that you guys created in that state. Are there any particular towns that you guys, you know, really made an impact on?
The report can give you a complete analysis of all of the projects funded in Arizona or any other state. So is it online, Wayne? Can you tell me, is the report available online? Okay, so the report's available online on the RD website. You can go there and you can see the funding that has occurred by every state in the country for each program area. And I'm sorry, I'm just not familiar enough with Arizona to identify a particular community and the impact on a community in Arizona, but we'd be happy to. Wayne Maloney is here with me from the Office of Communications, and he could work with you directly if you want to try and identify some particular communities.
Excellent. Thank you.
Reporters, if you'd like to ask a question, please let us know by pressing *1 on your touchtone pad. Let me ask you about working across counties and regionally. How does this help to improve regional rural economics when you do that kind of cross-germination?
Well, I think all of us who've been in part of rural America understand the normal competitive nature that occurs between communities across the country. And it's not just the old story about high school athletics, although that's a factor. But many communities see the neighboring communities as their competition. What we're attempting to do with the regional approaches effort is to get those communities to work more closely together by providing some very modest incentives in some cases, or simply providing a forum for them to come together. And, of course, this varies across countries. In some states, there's a very great activity by the state and local governments for the communities to work together. In some areas, there's not. So we're trying to take and identify areas that have uniform interests and trying to bring them together collectively through our state offices. We have a very modest grant program. We've worked to bring communities together for regional approaches. Secretary Vilsack, when he was governor of Iowa, did a significant amount of work on regional approaches in Iowa that's proved to be highly successful. So we're trying to emulate a lot of his experience that he had in Iowa in that effort.
What kind of projects are we looking at? Because maybe that's part of what can help people to understand some of the things they could actually work collaboratively together about that they don't even know that are available.
Right. I think the desire of many communities is to have all the components of what a community would normally have. So health care, emergency services, police services. I think especially let's take health care. It may not be necessary for a hospital to occur in every community, but there may be a natural reason where a significant health care center would be important to the region, and to try and get the communities to think about that particular need in a collective sense instead of a competitive sense with each other. You know, the same might be true of fire services or water systems that we deal with all the time. So it's tried to help communities think about the efficiency of sharing resources with each other that's beneficial, and then recognizing the needs of all of the individual communities in the area in ways that help them individually as well.
And that could help cut costs from the individual region, correct?
Yes, very much so. Some parts of the country, communities are having a hard time maintaining their viability as a community. So helping to grow understandings between communities is a strategic benefit to everybody and could help those individual communities that are struggling with their viability at times.
Reporters, if you'd like to ask a question, please let us know by pressing star 1 on your touch-tone pad.
There is enormous demands for that for as well. So especially let's take water and sewer systems. I mean, there is an enormous demand, enormous need in that area. So we're looking for every way to stretch every dollar possible to help make sure communities, small communities especially, have that potential demand. In the case of single-family housing loan guarantees, our biggest program is done without a cost to the taxpayer because the people who use the program pay a fee to offset the losses that might occur along the way. The program's going, so I believe there was maybe $17 billion or so of funds committed to that, but it was out of cost to the taxpayer. So those communities in rural America, an individual can get a home loan without a down payment, and that's a big deal. Income in rural areas is lower than it is in urban areas. So for people to come to get the money for a down payment is much more difficult in a rural area than it is in an urban area. And so this program is proving tremendously helpful. I believe over the last 3 years, we've helped finance homes in 21,000 different communities across the United States that might not have got a home otherwise.
Excellent. Julie Harker is next on the line with Brownfield Ag News. Julie.
Yes, good morning. I'm wanting to know how many rural development offices are being proposed for closure and how those decisions were made and how that might impact services.
We're closing 43 offices in 17 states and a few in a territory of Micronesia where we provided some service because Micronesia is a territory of the United States. We believe we can minimize the impact of the closure of those offices. It's very important that people continue to have services. We still have 450 offices across the U.S., and so we took a close look at the position of those offices relative to the populations involved in the area, the needs of those areas. We made sure as we're making sure as we go through the closure of those offices that service is still available in a reasonable distance to drive. That we can still provide those services. It's very tough for us, a very significant percentage of our offices nationally, and we want to keep that work going forward, but we did have to recognize that the funding levels that are available to us for having employees in the fields has been restricted for some time now, and so very practical for us. So we looked at those offices that had the fewest employees available in them already. We've had to shrink the employee staffing. So a consideration was how many people were there. I think we affected something like 105 employees by these closures and where they were at. And we're being working with each of those employees, trying to keep them employed in USDA Rural Development as part of our team.
Let's continue with callers on the line. Ellen Ferguson with Congressional Quarterly. Ellen?
Thank you. Thank you for the call. The Congressional Appropriations Committees, particularly the House Agriculture Subcommittee, have had discussions about what they see as duplicative broadband services by rural development and by other departments. Do you have any concerns that there's going to be further reductions in funding for broadband or further consolidations?
Well, there may be efforts in that area. Of course, the administration has proposed some administrative reorganizations into by programs. I don't know that broadband was specifically discussed in that at this point. As we took up the most recent broadband effort that was part of the Recovery Act, we focused on what we saw as the most challenged areas for providing broadband. So we think we're one of the few agencies that have a field office structure that allows us to get a little deeper into the remoter parts of the country. We felt that we had the best opportunity to get out there with these resources. Everybody recognizes broadband is critically important to the continued economic growth of the country, especially in rural areas. So we were extremely pleased with what we had to work with to put out and help develop this national broadband network that everybody would like to see evolve. So I guess from our point, we'll take every dollar we are provided through the various programs we have in the area, and we'll go as far as we can. If there comes to a time of consolidation of the programs, we will be the strongest advocates that whatever system it is, that the resources be shared in rural America. We know that it's difficult. It's more expensive to provide service for broadband in rural America, but it is critically important there. So concerns, of course, but our concerns rest with making sure that whatever system is delivering broadband funds provides service to rural.
To thank everybody who called. Any closing remarks?
Thank everybody for the participation. Encourage you all, if you have any calls or any further questions, talk to Wayne. And we are excited about what we've done in the last year particularly, and hope you all take a few minutes to take a look at the report and maybe share it with folks along the way. Thank you.
And just let people know, how do they reach Wayne, just in case they do have some questions?
Wayne's number is 202-720-0494.
And then the USDA Rural Development 2011 Progress Report is also on RD's website?
Yep, absolutely.
All righty. Well, that concludes our media briefing. Thank you for joining us.